Welcome to Spanish Janice. I'm Janice Burt, and today we're diving into conversations that inspire growth, connection, and confidence. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome, everybody, to Spanish Janice. I am thrilled to have my friend and just amazing human being, Michelle LeMay, here with us today. She is the creative director of LeMay Productions. She is not only that, but she is an award-winning producer, director, writer. She's an actor. She has a remarkable story, but not just because of the films that she's making now, but because of the life that she built long before that. So we're going to dive into all that good stuff. Michelle LeMay, thank you for joining me today.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure. And anytime I get a chance to sit down and chat with you, it's awesome.
Well, we have had the opportunity to do some things together and interact. And I have gone to your wellness office, which is what I want to talk about before we get into the filmmaking and acting and all that, which is how we originally met. But when I walked into this wellness space that was just calming and a beautiful space to, I feel like, get the physical body kind of in shape, it felt really good to me. And so I want to ask you how that started in your life, this wellness journey, this component of what's now a business, but used to be, I don't know, what was that in your own life, your wellness journey?
Oh, wow. Well, we are going back a minute or so. You know, a lot of people assume because I'm the doctor's wife, you know, he's a chiropractor and a functional nutritionist. They think, oh, well, you work in his office because he's your husband. And a lot of wives do that. However, for me, I had my own chiropractic testimonial. I was actually working for a film production company in Minnesota and waiting a few months for us to get married in between his semesters at chiropractic college. And I developed really bad migraine headaches. And I started going, I'll kind of fast forward. I went to his family's chiropractor because he had just started school, so he couldn't do anything. And so I started seeing his family's chiropractor. And lo and behold, my headaches disappeared. And I'm like, what is this amazing type of wellness practice where you can help people without cutting into them or medicating them or doing all these harmful things? It's like, it's natural and it works with the body. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I want to help people like that. And so it just so happens that a position at the chiropractic college opened up. And I worked there the whole 4 years Mark was in school. So it just came from me having my own experience and just loving it and just wanting to serve and help people that way.
Ooh, okay. So when you had those migraines, and you experienced just complete relief from that after chiropractic care, did they ever come back, or was that something like, did you keep having to go and address that situation, or that it solved it?
It solved it in a really short amount of time. Again, this is like 40 years ago. I couldn't tell you if it was a week or 2 weeks, but it was very quickly. And that's what was so surprising for me. It also helped that I quit that job that was causing the headaches because I had gotten hired as a secretary thinking I'll work my way up through this film production company and, you know, really get into filmmaking. Well, yeah, no, I was so good as a secretary that they wanted me to stay there. So it's like, okay, I saw the writing on the wall. It's time to try something else. And honestly, with God's timing and lining everything up, because I didn't know what a chiropractor was before my husband started school. So I was told that, oh, it's just like a medical doctor. You just kind of do a 9 to 5, you know, no emergency, no after hours, no house visits. Yeah, well, it ends up, my husband has a big heart, as you know, and he did all of that. He talks to people before hours, after hours. He has made house calls. He has really gone out of his way to help people. And so, anyway, I didn't mind because we were on the same path wanting to help people that way.
And so then you ended up working with your husband in the same office. And I know you were saying it was chiropractic, and then you added on some other wellness components.
Yeah.
Talk about that, what that is, and why those things are so important just for people in general to pay attention to.
Yeah. He's from Minnesota, went to school in Minnesota. And when it came time for his residency, we're like, let's go to California. We can do it anywhere. Let's go someplace warm for a change, like all year warm. So we moved out here, started, you know, working with a few other doctors and went out on our own. And you can help a lot of conditions with chiropractic. You're affecting the nervous system. You're not just cracking bones, which a lot of people think, but it's the nerves that come out of the bones that go to every organ, cell, tissue in the body. So you're affecting all kinds of things, everything, which is amazing. And yet, there's some things you can't affect maybe as efficiently or as quickly. So people would come in complaining of back pain. And after his examination, he would determine that it's really a gallbladder issue. Sure, an adjustment helping the spine be aligned and the nerves going to the gallbladder are helpful, but we need to help support the gallbladder. So that's when things started pivoting for him and learning more and taking more courses on nutrition and from a holistic point of view. Not bioidentical kind of things, which we have very strong opinions about, but we wanted it completely natural. We wanted a company that had a long history of whole food-based supplements, somebody that had their own organic farm, you know, things like that. So that's where he started his journey about 15 years ago, and it's just grown because there's so much more that you can help people with. The American Medical Association even says that over 90% of medical issues are diet related, are nutrition related.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And this is the thing. Another guest was talking about those simple things in life mm-hmm. that if we would just actually incorporate in, like drinking enough water, the proper nutrition, mm-hmm. all of those things that make such a huge difference.
Right.
Why is it that you think that a lot of us struggle with doing they're simple, but sometimes not easy for people to do, like drink enough water in a day, for mm-hmm. instance. You would mm-hmm. think, that's pretty self-explanatory. You just refill your thing, drink enough, you know, stay hydrated. But a lot of times we don't do it. Or getting enough movement in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you found in your practice and the wellness part of it that has helped people just live better lives physically, kind of from the inside out?
Oof, that is a big question. it's true. There are so many simple things we can do, but we're busy, we're lazy. And I'm speaking about myself. and we get a lot of complaints from people. I don't like drinking water, or especially during the winter. I'm too cold. And that's usually me saying that. I don't like drinking water. And so my husband's like, well, do you like tea? We personally like liquid stevia to add a couple of drops to just plain water. So at least it can help people get over the hump, you know, maybe one drop in their tea or just, you have to find ways to trick yourself. And that's what we kind of tell patients, that we're trying to trick you into being healthy. And so just doing these little things and just setting an alarm on your phone, getting up and just walk around your office or walk around your desk, or there's chair yoga, there's all these things. So there's really no excuses. It's just your why has got to be big enough. And hopefully people don't get to the point where it's so bad that it's going to be a longer journey or almost an impossible journey. My husband loves to say, you know, if you're still alive, there's still a chance for you to get better. You know, we're both very optimistic. So I think you got to make your health a priority, because it is cliche. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You can't do anything. You can't function mentally or physically. So you got to make that why big enough, and you'll find ways to implement these simple things, and then they become part of your habits, and then you don't have to think about it anymore, and then it's not so hard.
Right, and it reminds me of this concept of getting comfortable with the idea of doing hard things.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just repeating that, like, I can do hard things. I can do hard things if my why is big enough.
Yep.
And I know, okay, there's going to be an outcome here that is positive, then I can do those hard things. Because one way or another, things are hard in life. It could be either hard because you have to do a health journey this way, or mm-hmm. it's hard because you're in the hospital now because you've neglected your health and you have to do that journey.
Right, right.
So, which is why I love that you guys are in the wellness industry. Mm-hmm. What has been one of the most surprising things that you've seen or encountered in that industry, in wellness?
Well, I want to make a quick side note before I forget, and something for your viewers to make themselves aware of. There's a great book called Do Hard Things.
Ooh.
And it's written by these two twin boys, homeschool boys, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, something like that. Great book, and they talk about raising the bar for teenagers and expecting more, and how teenagers in the past, you know, there's this one young sailor who took over the ship and kicked the captain off the ship, and just, it's a wonderful read. So Do Hard Things, great book, very inspiring as an adult, but definitely you want to get this into the hands of teenagers. So,
And pause there. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, we'll come back to your answer about a maybe surprising thing that you've seen in the wellness industry. But I love this conversation because I really feel like it's so important to highlight that in business and in our lives, this is a priority always.
Yeah.
So stay with us, everybody. We will be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
Welcome back to Spanish Janice. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. And we are back with my very special guest, Michelle LeMay. Michelle, I wanted to go back to the question about something interesting or very surprising in the wellness, in your wellness office that you have experienced that you want to share with us.
Wow. There are so many stories from the chiropractic end, you know, people coming in so, so much pain, just bent over, crawling in, people helping them in the door. And let's say an hour later after the exam and treatment, they come walking straight and in very little pain. It's just, and that's why I got into it in the first place. And for wellness, one of the first things I experienced was horrible allergies. And that's something that a lot of people here in Sacramento struggle with. And this year, really, really bad. So there's some YouTube videos on our YouTube channel with one of my stories, personal stories on overcoming allergies. So I'd encourage people to go to our YouTube channel and check that out.
And also just an encouragement for people, if they are struggling, that there are things out there, holistic, natural things that can help. And that should be hopefully one of the first places that they look.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you look at the span of history and how long this planet has been in existence, the medical model is just this tiny little 100-year blip. And everything else was alternative or natural. And it's like, let's get back to what really worked and maybe just save that for emergency, for acute care. I'm not saying get rid of it because it absolutely has a place.
Well, and something tells me that had a little bit to do with profit and... or has a little bit to do with profit. So
could be.
Just in people's own inner workings, you know, when they experience a health condition, it is a really good idea to just do some research and look at maybe some natural holistic methods. And and then last recourse could be Western medicine and kind of that model.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm so fascinated because I met you in the filmmaking acting community and then found out that you have this whole other life of wellness and chiropractic care, which is so cool because I'm into both of those things, you know, just as you are.
Right.
But let's switch gears to filmmaking a little bit. And I know you said you were studying filmmaking back in the day. What was so interesting to you about filmmaking? Why did you want to get into that?
Gosh, I don't know that there's very many people that don't love watching a movie. And I think it hits people at different ages and stages of their life and at different degrees. You know, I watched interviews that kids are 6 years old and their dad gives them a Super 8 camera and they're making movies and they're directing their brothers and sisters and cousins and putting on these shows. I was not one like that. I was more of a consumer of that. And I just love being able to escape in a story and work out my emotional issues through the characters as they're working out the same issues. So seeing myself and seeing, oh, okay, well, they worked it out this way. Okay, I think I might try that for myself. So it's just always been a really cool medium to use, very powerful.
Of self-expression, too. And then, like you were saying, relating to the characters.
Right.
I think that's huge when you can see yourself in somebody else and like, oh, how did they solve that problem? Or what is it that they were going through that makes you not feel so alone?
Yeah.
What is your favorite part of filmmaking? Like, if you had to pick, what's your favorite component of it?
Oh, man. That is so hard. You know, it's all fun, but I think being on set, being part of that family, having that camaraderie, and we're all working together for this common goal and purpose, and we're doing something creative. And honestly, when things don't go well, which they usually don't go well, something always happens. You get to really expand and grow and problem solve, because that's really what just about anything is, but certainly in filmmaking, it's just problem solving. It's like, not if they were going to have problems today, what problems could we have today and how might we be able to solve those? So for me, I think being on set, because that's the fun part. All this stuff that I'm doing right now for a film that I'm working on is tedious. It's still kind of fun. I know pre-production's got to happen, but I can't wait to get on set.
And I know you act as well. So if you had a preference to be in front of the camera or behind the camera, what would you, like, if you could only do one of those two things, what would you choose?
Oh, for sure, behind the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I would rather be doing what your team is doing right now. Yeah, thank you, guys. And because that is such an important role, because it takes a village to put something like this or any kind of film together. And I, for a long time, I felt more comfortable serving others rather than being served. And to me, being in front of the camera is you're being served because everybody's doting on you and doing this and that. And it's been a process, but it's like breathing in and breathing out. It's receiving and giving. You can't just give until you're empty, because then you can't serve anyone. So I've been learning in my later years of life to be able to receive.
To fill up that cup so that then you have a lot that overflows. Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah, if you're giving from a place of just empty,
yeah,
it falls flat and doesn't feel good, you know, especially for you, but maybe not for even the person that you're trying to serve.
Right, right. And that could be true for women. That could be true for moms, you know, dads, if they're stay-at-home dads. It's just we're constantly, you know, serving our family, serving our children. So, and even as a spouse, we need to think about, you know, receiving and serving and trying to, it's all a balancing act.
Yes.
And it's something that we all struggle with, myself included, every day.
Yeah. And being open, being reciprocal, like a mm-hmm. mutually beneficial kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And there are seasons in life. There are times where
yeah.
we might need to receive a little more because we've experienced a loss or something, you know, really tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But then to be in that place where we can receive and we allow that help in for somebody that's always serving can be really hard, like challenging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people have trouble asking for any kind of help.
Exactly. And in filmmaking and doing all this, like you said, it takes a village, it takes a team, everybody working together. So take us back to the very first film or anything that you created and you, you know, put all this work into. Were there fears that came along with that first experience of filmmaking?
Oh gosh, yeah, yeah. My first official short film that I did was 9 years ago. And it all started like in 2016, obviously 10 years ago. And I was part of a voiceover meetup that, you know, we've done some voiceover stuff. And I saw this one on meetup.com, and it was for filmmaking. And I'm like, well, that looks really interesting. Okay, I'll join. And nobody was responding, just me and these two other guys. And like, you know, one guy said, when are we going to get this thing going? Let's get together. Let's write something. I'm like, okay. I was really fearful. I'm like, if I said okay, that means I was going to have to do it. Because when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something. And it was really hard, but I thought, but I want to do this. Let's just do it. Let's just get together. You know, that should be easy. So it was me, this, and these two other guys. And one I had known from way back in the day. So it felt semi-comfortable, and we were talking about ideas. And so we ended up co-writing a script that got accepted in a place called Sacramento Film Festival. And then started my journey of real filmmaking.
Ooh, and we are going to talk more about that journey when we come back. But I know you are working on another short film that just, I love the premise of it. I love everything about it. So you're going to tell our audience about that. Everybody stay with us. We're taking a quick break. We will be right back with Michelle LeMay.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
Welcome back, everybody, to Spanish Janice. I am here again with my guest, Michelle LeMay. Michelle, let us talk about this current project. We talked about your past, some of the past things that you've done, but now you have something that you're really excited about, and so am I, because as soon as you told me what this short film was about, I was just like, what a great story. This is so cool. So tell everybody what you're working on right now.
Oh, well, thank you that you're excited, because I'm excited. It's a story of a teenage daughter, who secretly signs up her widowed dad on an online dating site. So I could stop right there. And I usually do. And people are like, oh my gosh, I could totally relate. So maybe it's an adult that, you know, is into the dating scene, whether single or widowed or whatever. And so, but here's the really cool thing. It's based on a true story. I watched a friend of ours, dear friend of ours, about 9 years ago, lose his wife slowly over a period of several years. And then finally she passed. And I'm learning and have done research. It's like, at what point is it okay to be happy again? Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? Is it 2 years? You know, everybody's journey, grief journey, whether it's a spouse or it's a some other loved one or even a pet, everyone's grief journey is different. And there's no playbook. And so what makes this beautiful is that he's a man of faith. And the whole theme, there's multiple themes. The main theme is really trusting God's divine timing and his provision. And watching these things unfold 9 years ago, we would be in the car driving, you know, to an event together, and we'd have an hour to talk there and an hour to talk back. And he would update us on things that are happening. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds like a movie. And I just thought, you know, someday the world needs to know that God has a purpose for you. You may not know God. God knows you. And he has a plan. He loves you. And he's not going to let you go. Trust him. And this is a beauty. It's not a preachy story. It's not a story about religion. There's a lot of humor in there, because he goes on these three hilariously horrible dates. So you've got all this funny, awkward stuff, and you just feel so bad for the dad. It's like he finally agrees to go, and then things go horribly. And then he's getting ready to toss in the towel, his 7-day free trial. That's the name of the film, 7-day free trial. His 7-day free trial is about to run out, and he's just like, I'm done. And of course, teenage daughters are like, what do you mean you're done? We got to do something. And everybody's just going to have to watch the film and see what happens from there.
Ooh, you see why I think this is such a good film? Oh my God, the premise is just amazing. Will you show everybody the poster?
And they can go to 7-day free trial film on Instagram, Facebook, and no dashes. There's a dash here, but on Instagram, just the number 7-day film free trial, 7-day free trial film. And they'll find it. They'll keep updated on all the things that we're doing, especially when it comes to casting and when we get on set, all the behind the scene kind of stuff. And not to self-promote, but I'm going to self-promote. There's still time to take advantage of some of the really juicy, fun rewards we have for donors. On our funding page, you might even get to be on set. So anyway, there's a lot of fun opportunities here.
And I will say, I mean, just a great segue to filmmaking itself, right? I think when people think filmmaking, they have certain things in their mind that is on set. Stuff.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, there's this whole pre-production period of time, which I know you did a fundraiser for. Mm-hmm. So talk about some of those things that people have to do even pre-standing on set. Like, what are the things that you have to put together for a short film, let's say? Maybe not a feature, but a short 10-minute, 20-minute film.
Yeah. So ours is going to be roughly 20 minutes. currently the script is 19 pages, so it's roughly a minute per page. Yeah, that's where it takes another village to do all the pre-production stuff. Now, if you're independently wealthy or know somebody who is, it's a piece of cake. They just write you a check and go, here you go. You put it in the bank and you start, you know, making things happen and hiring people. Well, that was not the case for me. So I had to rely on the kindness of others and do this fundraiser. And we did pretty well. We did pretty well. It not only was a fun event, and it also gave us an opportunity to expand our audience, which is super important, especially in the indie film, you know, arena. But it also gave us a little bit of seed money to start making things happen. So you're in development, and development is when you're raising the funds. So then we got to a certain point and like, okay, we're ready to start pre-production. And we're like, oh, okay. Now we start pre-production. So now we're working on casting right now. I have an amazing casting director, Sandra D. Richardson, who is a veteran of this industry. You've worked with her. She's amazing.
Lovely.
Yes, absolutely lovely person and so talented, multi-hyphenated woman and just a delight. And it was actually... I want to give her a shout out because it was thanks to her and her encouragement that started my filmmaking again. Because I had made that short back in 2017 for a place called Sacramento. And then I'm like, I'm taking a break. It was like having quadruplets. I'm like, that was painful. It was wonderful. And we had a great outcome. And I need a break. So that was 2017. It wasn't until about 2024. So about,
yeah. You needed a break.
I needed a break. I learned so much because so much went wrong. But I was so thankful that God had all those things happen. I learned. It just made me better. It made me stronger. And so I reached out to Sandra and said, again, I want to do this. And I'm like, oh, do I make that call? Okay, maybe I won't call her. Maybe I'll just text her. And she'll ignore it. Maybe. But no, that's not Sandra. She answered. And she goes, yes, let's get together. And she said, it's about time.
Aww.
Yeah.
See, isn't it interesting, too, when other people can see it, maybe sometimes more than we ourselves can see it?
Totally.
And then you get that confirmation.
Totally.
It's about time. Let's jump into it. What I love also is, like you were saying, this is a very heartfelt story mm-hmm. that talks about God and the divine, but it does it in not a preachy way, mm-mm. which I love that concept mm-hmm. of just the subtlety of touching on certain topics without having to have a billboard saying, I'm touching on these topics.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? Was that a decision that you made purposefully to kind of create it that way? Or what was that like in your own mind and process?
Yeah, it's touchy and it's tricky writing that. I didn't want to lose any of my audience or any of potential audience. So I wanted to be sensitive to where everybody's at. And we are talking about a subject of grief. And like I said a little while ago, there's no playbook. There's no hard and fast rule of what that's supposed to look like. So I wanted to be sensitive to people along their grief journey and along their faith journey. So I want people to be able to make up their minds for themselves. And I also wanted to be true and authentic of what I believe and what I saw in my friend's life. He trusted God. He was patient. And he took a leap, literally a leap of faith. And that's when the reward, I'm not going to go total spoiler alert here, but you see God rewarding him for his patients, you know, my friend having patients. And it's just cool. How could you not want to shout that on the mountaintops?
Exactly.
I mean, if I'm going to make an amazing pie, I want to share it with everybody. And that's how I felt about this story.
And speaking of stories, storytelling is such an important component of films. How do you view storytelling in films? Like, what's your thought on the best way, I guess, to tell a story in a film?
You know, that's a good question. There's a lot of writers that struggle with that, and I think that's part of the decline from the big studios in Hollywood. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm not alone in my opinion in that. And I feel that the Christian media and stuff is really exploding because they know how to tell, like, the best story.
Well, that reminds me of Lady Bird, which was a Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I felt that did so well, in my opinion, because the story was so well laid out and so well presented in that movie that it attracted people to it. And
right.
Maybe something that, you know, there wasn't a ton of money in it or whatever, but it just did so well because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Story is huge, and being able to properly show that to the audience and how you deliver that to them is a whole art form, I think, in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't want facts. And this applies to a lot of other industries. People don't want facts thrown at them. They're like, tell me a story.
Yeah.
I want to hear a story. You know, it's like we're still little kids inside, and I just want to hear a good story. I want it to inspire me, to encourage me, to change my life, to have some kind of transformation. I want to be Luke Skywalker, and I want to, you know, destroy the Death Star and, you know, all that. So I want to be the hero.
Ooh, you are the hero, Michelle. And everybody stay with us. We will be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
Welcome back, mis amigos, to Spanish Janice. I am here with my very special guest, Michelle LeMay. Michelle, I love this concept of your new short film that you're working on. I want to know what your ultimate vision, like if all the stars aligned.
Yeah.
And it was just this ideal outcome for this film. What does that look like to you?
Okay. Well, ultimately, we do have planned, or we are in the process of planning you know how there's a red carpet premiere for a lot of films? Well, we're going to have a pink carpet premiere, because with our poster and a lot of our branding, that you've got pink in there. So besides our pink carpet premiere, our ultimate goal is for it to be out there in churches and small groups. There's a really great national program called Grief Share, and it's a wonderful 13-week course that really helps people through this grief journey. And so reaching out to these types of groups, because I want it to be something that gives people hope, that helps them along the way and really helps them answer that question. Yes, it is okay to be happy again, however that looks like for you. But yes, it is okay. So ultimately, that's my goal, to get it out there and have it be inspirational for people.
I love that. I feel like people retain more, first of all, with a good story, right? But then having that inspiration and that hope in the form of entertainment.
Yes.
There's nothing better in my mind, because, you know, people don't really want to sit down and listen to facts, like you were saying, just being thrown at them. Mm-mm. They want to sit, watch this story unfold that then can give them hope and is a source of inspiration. And I just love that, you know, you have that same vision of doing that for people and packaging it in such a way that makes it entertaining, relevant, and fun, too, for somebody to sit down and just enjoy. What was the most, what has been to this point, the most difficult piece of all of this?
Being patient. Because I want everything now. I feel like we're all little kids. I want what I want when I want it. And so just learning to be patient. Not all the money that I thought we would need has come in, but it still is coming in. And I believe God has already shown up in a lot of big ways, a lot of nice surprises. And I firmly believe he will continue to show up. He will continue to open doors. He will continue, because it's not my film, I believe it's his film. It's his story that needs to come out. And I'm just trying to be his instrument and just be his vessel and just get this out there to people. It's not about me. It's not about winning awards or anything like that. It's how can this serve other people? So the most challenging thing is me, frankly.
That's, welcome to my life, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The most challenging thing lies within, which, speaking of the kind of this internal journey that we're all on, what do you think are some of the most needed attributes or qualities of a person who is in the role that you're in as a creative director, as somebody who's going to be leading a team and assembling a team? What are some of those qualities and characteristics that are needed?
You know, it's funny, as you were saying that, it flashed from watching those grief share videos that I can't imagine somebody losing someone and not having faith, knowing where they are and how to handle that whole grief journey. It's just, I can't imagine life without my faith. And honestly, the same with filmmaking, the same with our wellness practice, having a faith and just knowing God works good for those who love him, and just keep trusting and keep doing my job. It doesn't mean that I get to sit back and, you know, sit in the lawn chair with my little cool drink and do nothing. No, he wants us to take action, but he also wants us to be obedient and to trust him. So I think some of those qualities are having courage. Just every time I would step out to reach out to my friend or reach out to the meetup, you know, that took courage. And I think you have to be brave in order to be good. And so just taking that leap of faith and just knowing it's not about you and just trusting that God's going to take care of it. Just you do what you're supposed to do and God will handle the outcome. Whether this goes into no churches, I'm okay with that. I need to not make it about me, because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for others. And I'm hoping on set it will be an amazing experience for people. You know, I would like to think, you can ask my producers. I have several amazing producers that have already worked with me thus far. And hopefully if you ask them, they'll say that it's been an amazing journey for them. It's been fun. We've had a lot of fun together. So I hope that will continue on set and post-production and out into the world. So I think having those kind of qualities as a leader is being grounded, and for me, that's being grounded in my faith and being a good listener.
I love all of those. I love that you said fun. Fun is on the top list of my values.
Yes.
Not at the top, but it's near.
It's got to be up there because...
Why are we doing things that we're not enjoying?
Yeah.
And you're not having a good time?
Yeah.
And so bringing that into it along with the meaningful piece, that purposeful piece, that centering piece. And I will say from everybody I've talked to, everybody wants to work with you. Everybody loves working with you. So there are huge benefits to leading from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with you. So if you were not doing your own work internally and doing your own health and wellness regimen and staying up on all those things, it's my belief that you wouldn't be able to be as good of a leader and filmmaker and have the support of as many people as you do. So kudos to you for that. And for anybody listening too, to know that leadership truly does start from the inside out, and how we lead ourselves will be noticeable to other people, and will attract people if we're leading ourselves, I feel like, correctly. Now, how does this and filmmaking, the wellness business and filmmaking, do you feel like you have enough time for both? Do you ever feel a little burnt out, or are you, do you do a good job balancing both?
You know, I have to give a huge, huge shout out for my husband, because I would not be able to do any of the fun filmmaking stuff that I get to do. He is so supportive in so many ways, whether he sits and watches another chick flick movie with me, which he actually likes. He's got a big heart. Or if he helps, like if I'm going to run an audition, I just did an on-camera audition 2 days ago and I needed him to run lines. I needed him to hand me a prop in the shot. And so like I could go on and on. He has just been so, so supportive. We just support each other, because when we were doing we still are. I still work in the office, although once in a while I might be like, I got to go on Zoom for a meeting, like yesterday. Or, you know, I've got to leave early for something. And he's just like, I got it. So he's not one of these stuck up kind of doctors that, oh, no, it's below me to answer the phone, or it's below me to, you know, sell somebody a supplement or to print this or that. No, he is right there because he doesn't have this huge ego. It's not about him. It's about serving, you know, whoever it is that's in front of him. So I'm just so thankful that we've worked so well together. A couple more months, it'll be our 40th anniversary, which, aww, yeah, we did get married when we were
babies?
Five.
That's right.
Something like that.
No, don't do the math.
No, please don't do the math. So I love working with him, and we just love supporting each other because we value each other.
Ooh, and how important in relationships to value one another, to see the good in the other person, especially after so many years.
Yeah.
So that's amazing that you guys have been able to do that. Last question. This has gone by so fast.
I know.
So many things to talk about.
I know.
But how would you say if somebody really struggles with the ego and that, you know, I know everything, kind of, I have all the answers, or, you know, or those things are beneath me, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're just, the ego is really showing up in a big way. What is a thing or two that you could tell that person that might reduce that ego a little bit, so that real, like, the heart and the soul and the beauty can come through as opposed to the ego?
Ooh, well, I read a book years and years and years ago. I don't know about you, but I love John Maxwell. Mm. So many phenomenal leadership books. And I can't tell you which one I read this in. This has got to be 20, 25 years ago. But he said in one of his books that EGO stands for, it's an acronym. It stands for Edging God Out. And that just stuck with me. So I don't mean this to sound preachy or anything, but if we think we're all that in a bag of chips, then, you know, we are all equal. We are all equal in God's sight. So it's honestly for me, I can't say for anybody else, that when I start to feel like I am all that and a bag of chips, and I get a nice compliment like you gave me earlier, I'd be like, oh yeah, I am pretty darn fun to be around and yeah, and all that. And it's like, whoa, okay, who made me? Whose am I? It's not about me. He needs to get the glory, not me. And so honestly, turning back to scripture and seeing, you know, who created me, I'm his. I'm here for a purpose. And so when I start to get to be too much, my husband's good. He does not point it out. I just kind of feel it and it just feels icky. And it's like, okay, yeah, usually it's a sermon in church or a hymn that we're singing that it's like, ooh, that one kind of stings. Yeah, I've been kind of thinking a little too much of myself.
And God has a way of giving us those messages, the internal messages, the intuition that you kind of go, I might be a little bit off base now. Maybe I have to recheck that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on here and being literally just the best guest, just big heart, seriously, and doing creative, amazing endeavors out in the world. Everybody go out and see this film when it's out. It's going to be a good one. And Michelle, thank you again. Everybody out there, go live your best life. Be free of fear, be free of ego, and truly live your calling. See you next time.